Welcome. Come on in and make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimek. Glad to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio. Today is day 5 of our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It's also a very, very special day. And one of the reasons that I love doing this preparation when we do it each year, we begin on September the 4th, and we make our total consecration on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. One of the reasons that I like doing this during this period of time is that we always get to celebrate the Blessed Mother's birthday. How cool is that? And yes, today is the birthday of the Blessed Mother. And I thought that it would be appropriate that since we are focused on ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world for these first 12 days, and remember this is day 5, so we're just about halfway through, isn't that incredible? Halfway through the first phase of our total consecration preparation. And this is a really important one because one of the main philosophies of St. Louis de Montfort, who popularized this devotion, is that we can't even begin to prepare until we recognize that we are very influenced by the world, even if we don't want to be influenced by the world. We're very influenced by the world, and we need to take some steps to try to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world a little bit so that we can move forward. Well, today, since we're trying to focus on spiritual things and move away from physical things that are in front of us, what better way to do that than to look at the life of the Blessed Mother. Now, you know, you may not know this. I say you know, you may not know this. I wrote a book about the Blessed Mother. The book is Listen to Your Blessed Mother, Mary's Words in Scripture. And in the book, I take a look at all the words of Mary as well as all of her actions. So this is a subject that I really like to discuss, I like to talk about. So I thought for our preparation today, we'll start by reading the Gospel from the Mass for this special day dedicated to the Blessed Mother, this feast celebrated by the Church. We'll read the Gospel. We'll also take a look at some of the events in her life with the point of trying to see how Mary lived her life, how Mary proceeded and walked through the problems and the difficulties of life with one eye on heaven, with one eye on spiritual things. And that's what we're all called to do. It's a challenge for us. When we look at Mary, when we look at what she faced, we realize that she didn't have it easy. We can complain and say, well, yeah, but I got it really tough. Take a look at her life. And she was able to keep her focus on the Lord. And, you know, one of the benefits of doing this, and we're going to spend a full week talking about the Blessed Mother, but today we want to focus on her ability to be in the world, but not of the world. And when we spend a week on Mary, we'll really delve into her and her qualities, her good qualities. But today I want to focus on the idea that Mary was able to operate in the world, just as we are, but she never let the world influence her excessively. And that's what this week is all about. So I thought that would be perfect to do this. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. As you listen to this program, I am in California speaking in the Fresno area. If you're if you happen to live in that area, make sure to check out my website to find out where you can see me. Now, today is Thursday. I have to think about this. It's not that easy for me because I'm pre-recording these programs. Today I'm speaking, or by the time you listen to this, I have already spoken at a breakfast meeting of the Catholic Business and Professional Group in Fresno tomorrow? No, in Visalia today. See, I'm getting confused. Tomorrow it's in Fresno. And on Saturday, I'm going to be at St. Joachim's Parish in Madera, California. And that's something you can come to if you're in the area. Come on out. We're going to do a little mini retreat in the morning and early afternoon, and I would love to. I'm going to be doing a book signing. They have a great bookstore at St. Joachim's Parish. So if you're in the area, please stop on by and say hi. But if you need anything, even though I'm traveling, let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I have to say that I've done this total consecration for 5 years on the program, as well as in my personal life. I think that this is the most powerful one that we've ever done, and I credit the Holy Spirit for giving me the idea to go ahead with this new approach and to not be tied into any one book. I think that is something that we needed. I really do. Because I think we can easily become overly complacent, overly familiar, and then just go through the motions. And if you go through the motions with total consecration preparation, you're just not going to get as much out of it as if you really, really get into it and let it challenge you. And we're being challenged. I believe me, no doubt about it. I'm challenging you this time. And I think that's good, but I don't think it's overly burdensome. That's my goal. But again, if you need anything, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Also, remember that you can listen to this program not only on blogtalkradio.com, you can listen to it on iTunes and TuneIn Radio, as well as my website, followingthetruth.com, from the radio page. So you got lots of different ways to listen, free of charge, no matter how you do it. And the reason that I'm able to do that is because of your support. So I ask you, if you like what I'm doing, please continue to help me out financially. I need your help. I can't survive without you. If you're a new listener, I don't like to talk about money. I really don't, but I can't survive without your financial help. If this program blesses you, you like total consecration, you want me to continue so that I can do this again next year in addition to my regular daily program, which I've been doing for over 5 years on Blog Talk Radio, please consider making a financial contribution or becoming a monthly supporter. And you can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com and clicking on the donate page. Okay, let's start with prayer as we do each day. And remember what we're doing here, even though I'm leading the prayer, this is a very simple prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to guide us. This isn't me leading. This is the Holy Spirit leading. The same thing for you. We're not in charge here. The Holy Spirit is in charge here. Our job is to show up and to try to do our best to prepare. But we are following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So let's turn to Him now and ask, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think that's so cool to be able to say St. Teresa of Calcutta. And as I mentioned on the show earlier this week, she loved this devotion. Total consecration was very important to Blessed Mother. Oh, see, there I go again with the blessed, to St. Teresa of Calcutta. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It really is. And especially if you're someone who has felt a little lukewarm, I know all about that. I really do. I spent most of my life being completely lukewarm. And at the same time, when I wanted to change, I felt I just don't have it in me. That's why this devotion is so perfect for those of us who don't feel especially strong, who don't feel like we can really stick to things. This devotion is perfect because all you got to do is put the time in during the preparation. And then on October the 7th, when you make your total consecration, when you say, yes, Mary, I want to be a saint, turn me into a saint, Mary's going to really go to work behind the scenes, bringing you closer to the Lord, cleaning up all of your efforts. Because a lot of times we try to do a good job, we try, our prayers aren't what they should be, we don't stick to things as much as we'd like, our minds are in a million other places. Mary's going to clean it all up for you and present it to the Lord. That's what a mother does. A mother watches over us. So this day, I am so blessed to be able to talk about the Blessed Mother on her birthday. Think about what your life would be like if Mary had not been born. She's the one that God chose to become the mother of your Savior. How cool is that? And furthermore, she said yes when she had the free will to be able to say no. We can completely forget that. We can say, well, no, she couldn't have said no. Yes, she could have. Mary had free will. She didn't say no. And because she said yes, look at what happened. We have a Savior. The gates of heaven were open. And furthermore, we have somebody standing by wanting to take us by the hand. And when, you know, it's funny, when Saint Mother Teresa would always, she would always be seen carrying her rosary in her hand. And when asked about that, she said, when I carry my rosary, I picture the Blessed Mother holding me by the hand. That's an incredibly powerful concept. And that's what your Blessed Mother does. She holds you by the hand. She wants to bring you to Jesus. St. Louis de Montfort said, if any Marian devotion to the Blessed Mother, doesn't bring you closer to Jesus, get rid of it because it's from the devil. Now, that's a powerful statement. I like to point that out because sometimes we start to panic and think, if I'm too devoted to the Blessed Mother, my devotion to Jesus will weaken. Not at all. The point is, we are trying to grow closer to Jesus. We failed so many times in our life up until now. Why not take advantage of the Blessed Mother's offer to help? And that's exactly what we're doing. All right, got to take a sip of my nice tall glass of water with lemon in it. Ready to get started? This is going to be good. I want to look at the gospel from today's Mass. Now, this is a feast day. And we celebrate, the church celebrates the Blessed Mother's birthday today. And because it's a special feast, we have a certain gospel. It's known as a proper gospel for today's Mass. And it's from Matthew chapter 1. There is a longer version of this. I'm going to read the shorter version. The longer version, you may have heard this before, is the genealogy of our Lord. It's very long, got a lot of names. We're going to skip that for purposes of this program. I think you're going to hear what you need to hear in the short version. And here it is. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. If we work backward from this reading, from this gospel passage, we look at the very last thing that St. Matthew states in this excerpt. God is with us. The name Emmanuel means God is with us. Jesus Christ is God. He's fully man. He's fully God. He's a divine person with two natures. He has a human nature and a divine nature. God loves you so much that he wanted to get close to you, so close to you that he wanted to become like you. I mean, first of all, that's an incredible thought. I want you to just, as we go through these reflections, I want you to think about this today. You're going to have problems in life. Remember, this is the week devoted to ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world and recognizing that the spirit of the world does have an effect on us. You've got problems. I'm sorry, that didn't sound good. We all got problems, right? We've got problems. We've got difficulties. We've got real struggles every day. We've got a job. We've got a family to take care of. You know, we may have a job. We may have a family to take care of. You may be religious. You may be a member of the clergy. You have responsibilities. And it's very easy for these responsibilities to become overwhelming, right? To become overwhelming. and to get the best of us. And when that happens, we can begin to worry. We can begin to feel hopeless. And the reason that it happens is because of the fact that we lose sight of not only God's power, but his presence in our life. It's really easy to do, because the world is right in front of us. We see the world in front of us. And we sometimes, unless we work at it, don't see the Lord and all that he's doing. That's why we need to spend a week like this. Because we need to refocus ourselves. We need to remember that he's in charge, and that he loves us too much to be a distant God. You see, when you think about it, God has it pretty good. He's in heaven. Why would he have to subject himself to what you and I subject ourselves to? The pain, the agony, the struggles. Well, because he loves you, and that was necessary. So when you think about that, you should feel really good and really comfortable. Comforted, I should say, not comfortable, comforted. To know that he cares that much about you, that he wanted to experience your problems, that he wants to walk with you every day. And so as a result, the Word became flesh. The Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, became flesh and dwelt among us, as St. John tells us. And that Word was given a name. His name is Jesus. And he came to us, he was delivered to us through the Blessed Mother, a young virgin, and her name was Mary. This is how God chose to come to earth, through the Blessed Mother. If we look at her, and we look at God's plan, why should she be ignored? Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said to somebody who said to him, "Why do I need the Blessed Mother? I have Jesus." And he said, "Well, you might not need her, but God needed her." And that's a really, I just love that quote, because it reminds us that when God chose this plan, and you know, I speak of God as if he was sitting around one day and said, "You know what? I need to save the people." It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that with God. God is unchanging. God is all-knowing. God's out of time. So he didn't just sit around. He wasn't sitting around in heaven saying one day, "You know what? Gotta send my son to earth. I think we need to work on this. Let's make this happen." No, I mean, it's something that was always decided upon. This was the way it is. God's outside of time. But you and I, we can't really understand that. So that's why I'm saying that when he decided. Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear about this. But this was the plan. This was the plan for Jesus to come to earth through the Blessed Mother. So all of the graces that come from Jesus, and the main grace, the main benefit is our redemption, he opened the gates of heaven, can be attributed to the Blessed Mother saying yes. So that's really important. That's an important fact. Well, why is it done that way? Why did it have to be done that way? It's done that way because it was done that way, right? Let's not overthink this. But let's recognize that God chose Mary to be the vessel to deliver the Savior to us. That's pretty cool. God thought she was worthy. God thought she was important enough to do that, to carry out that mission. So let's recognize it. You know, we can doubt all we want and say, "Well, I don't like that plan. It should have been done a different way." Well, it wasn't. Let's not deal with what could have been or the way it should have been done. Let's deal with the way it is. The way it is that Mary is very important. But again, and I say this in case you might not be Catholic, or in case you might be a new Catholic and you're not sure, Mary is not divine. Mary's not God. In any way, she is not God. She is human. She is fully human. She's a human person. She's a creature. But Mary was conceived without original sin. Why? Because Mary had a very special role to play. This is a one-of-a-kind role. And again, God creates the rules. And if Mary was going to be used to deliver the Savior, she had to be pure. So she was conceived without original sin, and also she never committed a sin in her life. That's a very holy person. That's a very special person. And guess what? She's your mom. And she wants to help you to get to heaven. She wants to help you to be able to rid yourselves of the spirit of the world. That's a challenge for us. Because everywhere you look, you're going to see a message that's contrary to the message of Christ, right? But look at Mary's circumstance. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. They were due to be married. Now, in those days, a betrothal was a formal agreement. It was more than an engagement. Sometimes we use the term engagement. It's more than that. A betrothal was a commitment, with the exception that the couple did not live together. So if the betrothal was to be broken, there would need to be a formal decree of divorce. There would have to be a divorce. So there was a commitment here. Now, because Mary is human, I just want you to think this through, because sometimes we think, well, she had an advantage. And, you know, we just don't take the time to think about these things. So much what I do in my apostolate has to do with awareness. Awareness of things that we don't ordinarily think of. And when we do think of them, which is really what we're doing in this preparation period, we're thinking of things. We're meditating on things that we might not otherwise thought of. But if you look at Mary and realize that she was human, she was subject to confusion, just as you and I are. And God never gave her all the answers up front. So Mary had to ponder things. We see in Scripture that she pondered things in her heart in order to figure out, what does God want me to do? Just as you and I do. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And obviously, she was expecting to have children with Joseph. She was going to have a child. But she couldn't have expected this to come about through the Holy Spirit, which is what happened. Now, I want to go, before we continue on with this reading, this gospel reading, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want to move over to Luke's gospel and read you something from Luke's gospel, from an episode known as the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel first appeared to the Blessed Mother. In the sixth month, this is Luke chapter 1, verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And this would be a good meditation for you today, in addition to today's gospel from Matthew chapter 1. So remember, Luke chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1. Doesn't get any easier than that. Just spend a little time reading these over today and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to inspire you, to give you the message. Because this, when you're talking about overcoming the spirit of the world, these are powerful readings. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, in the sixth month means, if you read up a few lines, a few verses before this, you'll see that the St. Luke is referring to the sixth month of the pregnancy of Saint Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. So the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this may be. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Now, what's scary about that? Why is that troubling? You and I wouldn't have a problem if an angel came to us and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." We'd start to feel pretty good about ourselves, wouldn't we? But here's what you need to know about Mary. Mary's very humble. Mary recognizes that every gift that she has, her sinlessness, her ability to do good, is due to the grace of God. So she feels humble. She feels unworthy, as humble people do. So she's troubled by this greeting. She's trying to figure it out. So a lot of times we're not humble. We can be a little proud, but Mary was humble. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." All right, so two things are happening here. Number one, well, actually three, and I want you to notice this. This is important. First words of the angel, well, the second words of the angel to the Blessed Mother are, "Do not be afraid, Mary." If you are someone who's afraid at times, take note. The Blessed Mother was afraid. There's a big difference between fear and worry. Being afraid is an emotion. It's a passion, if you want to call it that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a feeling, okay? Worrying is an action. There's a huge difference here. So take comfort that at times Mary was afraid too. And in today's gospel, we heard that Joseph was afraid. So you're in good company. Again, don't be afraid to be afraid. But if you worry all the time, be concerned about that. There's a huge difference there. "You have found favor with God," the angel said, "and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Okay, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. They were going to be married. The angel said, "You will conceive a son." Not "you have conceived a son." You will, future tense, conceive a son in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. What's the big deal? She's going to be married. She will have a son. Okay, it's a bit of news. You know, not sure. Will it be a boy or a girl? Well, I'm being told by the angel it'll be a boy. Is this earth-shattering? Well, probably not. But listen to what the angel goes on to say. "He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." References, scriptural references to the Messiah. So Mary is told that, number one, you're going to have a son in the future, and he's going to be the Messiah. Now, how would you react to that? Which piece of news would blow you away more? You got it. Wait a minute. Okay, I can deal with the son thing, but the Messiah? My son is going to be the Savior? Are you kidding me? What did Mary say? What was the question Mary asked the angel? "How can this be, since I have no husband?" Remember, this is in the future. And a lot of times people will question this and say, wait a minute, Mary's doubting. No, she's not doubting. Mary trusted God so much that she had no problem with the Messiah thing. No problem. Hey, if you want me to do this, fine. What she was questioning was the fact that she had decided, and this is the opinion of St. John Paul II, Archbishop Sheen, St. Gregory of Nyssa, St. Augustine. They all said that Mary had consecrated her virginity to the Lord. She was to become, she made the decision to be a virgin, even though she was going to be married. Unusual, but not unheard of. That's the only way that this question makes sense. And the reason I say this is because you don't want to start thinking Mary doubted. She had no faith. Sometimes people say that. Read it. Read this over. She didn't. She didn't doubt. She asked a question. How can this be? And the angel said, "It'll come about through the power of the Holy Spirit." And Mary said, "Be it done to me as you will." In other words, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. I'm in." She accepted, even though she didn't understand. She was able to trust that much. Think about how you would act in that situation. And then be thankful that you have her on your side. This is going to be a powerful devotion. We've got a lot of time to go, and on October the 7th, we make our consecration. The Blessed Mother is going to take good care of you. I've got to run. Make sure you wish her a happy birthday today. God bless you. See you tomorrow.